Hello, everyone, and welcome back to For the Love of True Crime. Just want to give a quick apology. I know I said I would try to post twice a week, but this week for school was just absolutely insane. I was busy every single day, so I wasn't able to work on this video as much as I wanted to. Moving forward, I really, really want to post two videos a week, but I have a feeling it's going to be more like one. I don't have a set day for when I post. I just kind of work on it when I can and record when I can and edit when I can. So sorry if you were looking forward to a video this week and I didn't get it posted, but I will keep you guys updated. All right, let's get started. But before we do, I just want to give my usual disclaimer that I mean absolutely no harm towards any of the people I discuss in this case. These are simply my opinions or facts that I've learned about the case from the internet that I'm compiling into one video. I would also like to give a quick warning that this case does involve mentions of suicide, self-harm, abuse, and eating disorders. So if that isn't your vibe, then please click off now. Alright, let's get started. So in today's case, I am going to tell you the story of the death of Conrad Roy and why Michelle Carter was involved in his suicide. Conrad Henry Roy III was born on September 12, 1995 in Massachusetts. Conrad was known to be very shy growing up as he suffered from social anxiety, especially while attending school. He attended Old Rochester High School and ended up graduating on the honor roll. Conrad was known for his athletic ability also, as he played baseball, rowed crew, and ran track. While attending high school, Conrad took night classes at the Northeast Maritime Institute for 3 months and earned his captain's license. He was inspired to do this because he worked for his family's marine salvage business for several years. Conrad was accepted into Fitchburg State University where he planned on studying business, but ultimately decided not to attend. Before I move along in the story, let me introduce Michelle Carter. She was born on August 11, 1996, also in Massachusetts. Starting around the age of 8, Michelle developed a severe eating disorder and participated in self-harm. At the age of 14, Michelle was prescribed psychiatric medication and began to see a counselor. She attended King Philip Regional High School. She was seen as very sweet and she respected adults. On the outside, she seemed like a classic American girl who would not be capable of what she would ultimately do. Michelle and Conrad met while visiting family in Florida, and coincidentally only lived 35 miles away from each other back in Massachusetts. Even though they only lived around an hour away from each other, they only saw each other around 5 times over the course of their 2-year relationship. The couple would stay in close contact via emails, text messages, and phone calls. I do think it's important to mention, I don't really know whether or not they were a couple. They did talk very romantically to each other. Some sources say they were. Other sources say that Michelle saw him as her boyfriend, but Conrad saw her as a friend, so I'm not exactly sure. I'm just going to refer to them as a couple, but just keep that in mind. Based on documents that were presented in the court case, Conrad was allegedly physically abused by his father and verbally abused by his grandfather, which just made his depression and anxiety even worse. Conrad first tried to kill himself in October of 2012 when he was 17 years old while his parents were getting a divorce. At this time, when Michelle learned that he wanted to die, she actively discouraged the idea and told him that he should get, quote, professional help. However, her attitude on this topic would later change in 2014. Conrad even went as far as to suggest that they both kill themselves like Romeo and Juliet. Because of his depression, anxiety, and suicidal tendencies, Conrad had been seen by many psychological professionals throughout his life. He was even seeing a cognitive behavioral therapist in the weeks leading up to his suicide. Conrad was on an antidepressant called Celexia for a long period of time, which actually has warnings that it can increase the thoughts of suicide and behavior in people under the age of 24. Conrad would often record himself in video diaries talking about his life and how he felt. These would play a huge part of the case formed against Michelle in court. Unfortunately, on July 12, 2014, Conrad successfully killed himself through carbon monoxide poisoning in his pickup truck located in a Kmart parking lot. Upon investigating Conrad's phone, police found very disturbing text messages from Michelle that were encouraging him, maybe even demanding him, to do this suicide. Some of the messages read, quote, "Stop thinking and just do it. Hang yourself, jump off a building, stab yourself. Just park your car and sit there. It will take like 20 minutes. It's not a big deal. You just have to do it. I don't get why you aren't. After sending these awful messages, Michelle called Conrad when he got out of his truck out of fear. And based on a text she sent to a friend after his death, she told him to get back in. And even went as far as to say that his death was her fault. It wasn't until the morning after Conrad died that he was found by police. Michelle had sent him nearly 80 text messages after he died, saying, quote, "Did you do something? Conrad, I love you so much. Please tell me this is a joke." After police found these upsetting text messages, they contacted the district attorney's office and began to build a case against Michelle. It wasn't until October 2, 2014 that they would interview Michelle in her high school. During this interview, Michelle was very elusive in nature about her involvement in his death. When asked if she had contact with him that day, she replied, quote, "I think so." She goes on to admit that he called her the night of his passing and they talked for a little while, but then the phone hung up and she had no idea why and that she was scared for him. Police then tell Michelle that they have a search warrant for her phone and that they'll be taking it, which seems to worry Michelle, but she covers up her true emotion by acting confused. After extracting all of the contents of Michelle's phone, detectives read through everything, and from what they read, they agreed that if it weren't for Michelle's encouragement for him dying, Conrad would still be alive. Michelle was booked in February of 2015, but was released on bail immediately. After the text messages were released to Conrad's family, they were absolutely devastated. Conrad's aunt, named Becky, even stated that it was almost as bad as finding out he died. They blame Michelle completely for Conrad's death. The media went absolutely insane with this case, as it was unusual and rare in nature. No one had ever seen these circumstances of someone using text messages to push someone into killing themselves. One of the people that was intensely against Michelle was Nancy Grace. She talked about this case all the time on her television show and berated Michelle for the way she berated Conrad. Michelle's defense team had no way to deny the text messages, but they claimed that although her actions were wrong, it wasn't criminal in the state of Massachusetts. During the hearing of whether there was probable cause for involuntary manslaughter, the judges in the courtroom had already made up their mind on Michelle's involvement, and they decided that the charge would be appropriate and move forward to trial. On June 5, 2017, Michelle's trial began. The media outlets were lined up outside waiting for her appearance. At the beginning of the trial, Michelle testified that she was waiving her right to a jury trial and leaving the decision of guilt or innocence completely up to Judge Lawrence Moniz. The prosecution started calling witnesses to the stand, including Conrad's sister, Cameron. Michelle texted Cameron as soon as an hour after Conrad's suicide, asking if he had come home and where he was. The next day, on the 13th, Michelle continued to text Cameron, asking if they found Conrad yet and reminding the family to stay positive. She never mentioned to Conrad's family that she was texting him and on the phone with him the night he killed himself. After Conrad was discovered, Michelle tried to play the part of a superhero and offer support to the family, even asking to come over to the house. Conrad's family was so happy with Michelle at this moment, but they never would have thought that she was sending encouraging text messages for him to kill himself. After Conrad was cremated, Michelle even went as far as to ask for some of his ashes. The prosecution stuck to a narrative that Michelle wanted Conrad to die in order for her to gain sympathy and attention from her classmates. They called several of Michelle's acquaintances to the stand to paint the story. These classmates all told similar stories that Michelle would often ask to hang out, but they were either busy or just simply did not want to spend time with her. During the time Conrad was missing, Michelle reached out to these classmates for support, but the prosecution believed that this was the start of the attention she would receive over her boyfriend committing suicide. Unfortunately, her plan worked. She played the part of the grieving girlfriend and received the attention she craved from her peers. She started making plans with these girls she wanted to be friends with the excuse of her sadness and a need for distraction. Suddenly, Michelle was a top priority for the people she craved friendship with. Michelle organized an event in honor of Conrad's memory relating to baseball on Facebook called, quote, Homers for Conrad, in order to raise awareness for mental health illnesses. She even went as far as to brag about the amount of attention the post was getting to one of her new quote-unquote friends. Conrad's best friend was the one to reach out to Michelle asking why it was being held in Plainville, where Conrad's family did not reside. She responded that she was doing it there because it was her town. It just goes to show that she really just was craving attention and loving every ounce of it. During the event, Michelle appeared to be very excited and happy. She even took pictures with some of the teams who were participating. Michelle Carter was portrayed as a monster in the media, and she started to receive a lot of hate from people on social media. I think it's pretty obvious that I am not Michelle's biggest fan, but in her defense, this is unfair and could have played a part in the jury's ultimate decision. Her attorney feels that the media misrepresented Michelle and portrayed her to be something she wasn't. But I believe that actions speak much louder than words, and that Michelle had a huge hand in Conrad's suicide. But I'm getting ahead of myself, let me get back to the details. As I mentioned before, Michelle suffered from her own mental health problems, including a very severe eating disorder. She was isolated and lonely, and she did not have many friends. She used Conrad as a crutch and a way to commiserate with someone about their issues. Michelle was very aware of the fact that her quote-unquote friends from school did not want to spend time with her over the weekends, and would often berate the people who did not text back, making them feel guilty if they ever considered leaving her. She was very insecure in her friendships and often asked them if they were mad at her and if they were still friends. This is a very common practice in people who have anxiety. After the prosecution concluded their case, it was time for the defense to take the stand. Michelle's attorney tried to stick to the fact that Conrad's death was ultimately up to him. He pointed to the fact that Conrad suffered from mental health problems that led to his suicide. However, this is hard to grasp when Michelle's text messages were literally encouraging him to end his life. Even the night before his death, the couple were discussing the potential event and Michelle was very supportive. The defense brought up the fact that Conrad was physically abused by his father in order to further drive home the point that he was miserable in his life and he was the one who decided to end it, whether he had Michelle's support or not. They also brought a psychiatrist up to the stand to testify about Michelle's mental illnesses and tried to paint the picture that Michelle wasn't responsible for her actions. Also, they wanted the fact that Conrad's medication could have caused suicidal thoughts and tendencies in people under the age of 24, which Conrad was, to be brought up to the jury. They tried to put the idea in the jurors' heads that Michelle was only 17 years old at the time of the suicide, and that she didn't know any better. I don't know about all you, but when I was 17 years old, I was suffering from mental health problems, and I knew right from wrong. And I knew that I should never encourage someone, especially someone I love, to kill themselves. But I digress. The psychiatrist claimed that Michelle was under a type of intoxication from her medication that made her form the idea that she should convince Conrad to kill himself, but not with a criminal intent. The prosecution cross-examined the psychiatrist, pointing out that Michelle was at camp between July 2nd and July 12th, where she was interacting with friends and seeing a therapist. At this time, she had good decision-making skills and could tell right from wrong, but the psychologist argued that she believed that she was doing the right thing from her intoxicated state. It has been argued that because of Michelle's age at the time, her frontal cortex wasn't developed enough, leading her to make bad decisions. Something to point out is how Michelle was obsessed with the star of the TV show Glee, named Leah Michelle. When Michelle would text Conrad, she would often take quotes from Leah's character and send them to her boyfriend. Leah Michelle would say these romantic quotes to her co-star played by Corey Monteith, who was also her real-life boyfriend. Sadly, in 2013, Corey overdosed in a hotel room and died. It has been argued that maybe Michelle was so obsessed with Leah that she tried to frame her life to resemble her own, which could explain why Michelle pushed Conrad so hard into committing suicide. Michelle even quoted both the Glee character and real-life interviews from Leah Michelle about her dead boyfriend while she was texting her friends about Conrad's death. After only 6 days of the trial, the closing arguments were given. The prosecution delivered theirs first. They started by reading a text Michelle sent to a friend about her boyfriend's death, where she basically said that if she wanted to stop him from killing himself, she could have. The defense really drove home the point that Conrad's suicide was just that, a suicide, and that Michelle was really the victim in the situation. The public was divided on this case. Some people thought that Michelle deserved to be found guilty because of the sheer fact that she told him to get back in the truck. Others felt that the suicide was Conrad's decision at the end of the day and that Michelle shouldn't be held responsible for someone else's actions. After the closing arguments, Judge Moniz deliberated for just 2 days on his decision. On June 16, 2017, the verdict was announced. Before stating his decision, the judge decided to give an explanation for his verdict and stated that he divided the evidence into three components. The first was the weeks before Conrad's death. The second was the day of Conrad's death, and the third was the aftermath of Michelle's words and actions. For the first section, Judge Moniz felt that Michelle's actions and texts to Conrad warranted reckless behavior and disregard to the well-being of him. However, the judge felt that during this time period, the blame of the death was on Conrad, as he was the one who bought the generator to poison himself with. Then he goes on to say that when Conrad stopped his plan and got out of the truck, Michelle instructed him to get back in, which she knew was a deadly environment, making her responsible in that moment. Because of her failure to act in a reasonable manner and save Conrad, Michelle was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter beyond a reasonable doubt. Her sentencing hearing was scheduled for August 3, 2017. The media who supported Michelle pointed to the fact that Michelle telling Conrad to get back in the truck was simply hearsay. Since Michelle claimed that she said it over the phone, there was no textual evidence on either phone, Conrad's or Michelle's. It was only when she confided in her friend over text that it was brought to the police's attention. So the fact that the judge's decision was mostly based on this was unacceptable in a lot of people's eyes. August 3rd, 2017 rolled around and it was time for Michelle's sentencing hearing for her charge of involuntary manslaughter. She was facing a maximum of 20 years in prison. The prosecution was asking for at least 7 years or up to 12, and the defense was requesting leniency in the decision. The defense actually asked the judge that Michelle receive rehabilitation and probation instead of incarceration, as she was merely 17 years old at the time of the crime. Judge Moniz decided on a sentence. He decided that Michelle's age at the time, level of maturity, or even her mental illness did not play a role in her actions, which led to her conviction. Michelle was sentenced to 2.5 years to the Bristol County House of Corrections. The defense requested that Michelle stay out of prison until her appeal process was completed, and Judge Moniz agreed. She was free after the sentencing hearing, and Conrad's family was devastated by this. In February of 2019, the Commonwealth filed a motion for Michelle to begin her prison sentence immediately. This time, the judge sided with the prosecution and agreed to this motion, and Michelle was immediately taken into custody. So, where is Michelle now? She did serve prison time for her conviction, but she was released 3 months early in January of 2020 due to her good behavior while incarcerated. She keeps a very low profile when it comes to the media. She is currently on probation until 2022. She has no social media accounts and she stays out of the public eye. Before I give my take on the case, I would like to give some resources to any of you who may find them useful. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental illness and/or suicidal tendencies, then please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Mental illness is a tough battle, but please remember that you are not alone and these resources are here to help you. So, what do I think about this case? This is a pretty tricky one. Obviously, what Michelle did was morally wrong and just plain awful. But the question is it technically illegal? I do not want it to come across like I am defending Michelle or what she did. Quite frankly, to be completely honest, I do not like her at all. I think what she did was disgusting and she should face the consequences of her actions. What Michelle did does warrant punishment, but again, is it illegal? I don't know. As someone who has been dealing with mental illness for as long as I can remember, I don't think that it is an excuse for encouraging someone to kill themselves. There are so many signs pointing to her craving attention and seeing Conrad killing himself as a way to get it. Also, there is that obsession with Lea Michele quoting both her and her character from Glee. It is an awfully tragic case, and I wish that Michele did the right thing and encouraged Conrad to not kill himself. My deepest condolences go out to the families involved that have suffered Conrad's loss. If you enjoyed this case, then I highly recommend that you watch the HBO documentary I Love You, Now Die, The Commonwealth vs. Michele Carter. It follows the case and trial very closely and even features Conrad's video diaries and the texts involved in this case. They show both sides of the story very fairly and even give some journalists' opinions on how the media handled it. It is available on HBO Max. But that's going to do it for me on this case. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please like and subscribe if you would like to see more of my content. Make sure to comment down below your thoughts on this case. Was Michele rightfully or wrongfully convicted for her involvement? I know that this case is going to be a little dividing and maybe a little controversial, so make sure to respect each other's opinions and don't fight in the comments. The world is a crazy place and we all should just be nice to each other. Also, in the comments, please leave some suggestions for future cases that you guys want to see. I have a few ideas on some future episodes, but I definitely want to prioritize the ones that you guys are interested in, so let me know. Thank you so much for watching, and as always, stay safe out there, because you never know who you can trust.